Thanks for spending part of your day with us here on The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. March 5th is the date that's been in the front of the minds of about 700,000 undocumented young people protected from deportation under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival programs, otherwise known as DACA. Back in September, President Trump set March 5th as the day he was rescinding DACA unless Congress can come up with a fix. Earlier this year, a federal judge in the Ninth Circuit called that decision unconstitutional, and the Trump administration then appealed. Well, today, the Supreme Court declined to hear that appeal until the lower court makes a ruling in the case. And court watchers say that means the government must continue to renew DACA applications, and the March 5th deadline rescinding DACA effectively goes away, for now, at least. But with the lower court case still pending and without congressional action so far, these young people's futures are still uncertain. And it's an even tougher environment for DACA students living in conservative states where leaders oppose the program, states like Texas. Last year, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton led 10 states in suing the federal government trying to overturn DACA. Kirk Carapeza manages the higher education desk for our partner WGBH in Boston. He recently went to El Paso, Texas, right on the U.S.-Mexico border, and visited a college campus there to get a closer look at DACA in a red state and how the situation compares with college students living in a blue state like Massachusetts. Kirk, welcome.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, Kirk, why did you choose UT El Paso? Why did it attract you?
Todd, the campus is about 500 yards from the border. You can actually see the border fence from the UTEP campus, which is planted right in the barren foothills overlooking Mexico. On campus, border security agents on bikes often patrol the paths, so the threat of deportation for DACA students is real. And we really wanted to ask young people living, working, and studying in this environment how their lives have changed since 2012. That's when the Obama administration enacted DACA. Are they doing better or worse than 6 years ago? So to find out, we took this road trip. We went to the West Texas city to get the outside story far from Washington.
Well, Kirk, are there a lot of DACA recipients at UTEP? What did you learn?
There are. Administrators don't track the number, but they estimate they're anywhere between 200 to 400, which, you know, compared to schools here in Massachusetts and New England, is a lot. And in blue states, like here in Massachusetts, we've seen many colleges ask staff to step up and help these students who are enrolled in the DACA program. In Texas, it's a very different story. First of all, Todd, just consider these numbers. Nearly 80% of all DACA recipients are from Mexico, and 45% are enrolled in school. In Texas, 113,000 young people have signed up for the program. That's compared to only 6,000 here in Massachusetts. And in Texas, state leaders oppose DACA, so the ongoing immigration debate in Washington is putting a lot of stress on DACA students at the University of Texas, El Paso, students like Roberto Valadez.
I used to excel in school, and then in middle school, when I found out I was undocumented, I just gave up. I was like, yeah, what for? I can't go to college, and I can't get a job if I go to college. So why even try?
His parents brought him and his sister from Juarez to El Paso when he was just 1 year old. And when Valadez turned five, his parents had the talk. They sat him down and told him that he was undocumented. It wasn't until middle school, though, that Valadez realized the consequences. And he told me that that's when he lost focus.
Well, there's some despair in Roberto's voice there. But, Kirk, then things changed in 2012, right? Because President Obama established DACA and spared people like Roberto at least the threat of deportation.
Right. He immediately got a customer service job there in El Paso. He obtained a Texas driver's license. And for the first time, he traveled outside the county without the fear of being caught and deported. Above all, though, Valadez told me that DACA gave him hope.
Now I'm going to go to school. Now I know it's for a purpose. Like, now I know what the end goal is. I know what I can do. It was like my golden ticket. Like, everything changed.
And after graduating from high school, he enrolled in college, paying full out-of-state tuition, like most DACA students, and he graduated from UTEP in December. When he was on campus, he had founded a group called Education Not Deportation, and he's been urging administrators to be more vocal in support of DACA, calling for more scholarships for undocumented students.
But Kirk, then there's this contrast between how Hispanics across the nation seem to view DACA versus those in Texas. Support among Hispanics nationwide for DACA is over 95%. In Texas, again, a conservative red state, it's a lot different.
That's right. A statewide poll found 1 in 4 Hispanics in Texas want to end DACA. And these were some of the most surprising voices we heard in El Paso. These are young Hispanic Republicans who oppose the program. Oscar Sanchez is president of the College Republicans. The 20-year-old conservative voted for Trump. He wants to build up the wall. And he thinks giving DACA recipients legal status completely undermines immigration law.
It's not fair for other immigrants, like my parents, for example. My mom being from right here, Juarez, right across the border, and my dad from Chihuahua, which is like 4 or 5 hours away from here. He works in manufacturing. He just worked his way up and ended up getting good salaries as the older he got, and he lives the American dream.
Kirk, Oscar is telling you essentially that his parents played by the rules, but of course, one of the difficult parts of the reality of DACA recipients is that they were brought here to the U.S. as children. They didn't decide to break the law, and in many cases would have to go back to countries that they know little or nothing about. So how does that play into what Latino students at UTEP or across Texas have to say about it?
These conservative Latino students we spoke with were certainly sympathetic, and they don't blame DACA students who came here as children. Instead, they blame their parents. Here's Peter Leyva. He's 23. He's in his final year at UTEP. He's a big Trump supporter. When I met him on campus, he was wearing a Make America Great Again t-shirt. He has family in Juarez, and he says he understands the challenges of living in a violent city, but he also opposes DACA.
As someone whose family waited in line to get citizenship, get naturalized, all the rest of it, I have always been opposed to letting illegal immigrants have a free pass.
Kirk, I can see why in a place like Texas, they're pretty divided lines, sort of two sides to this debate. But I also suspect that it's a lot more nuanced than that.
That's right. Not everyone I spoke with was as strident. I talked with 19-year-old Ana Cepeda. She said she doesn't like the idea of a pathway to citizenship for DACA recipients, but she is willing to bend a bit.
I'd support permanent residency. Citizenship is pushing it, but without chain migration, I think that would be a fair compromise.
And Todd, it's worth noting that Cepeda, like many of the young Republicans on campus, doesn't know any DACA students, and she objects to private donors giving them scholarships. We should also point out DACA students can receive state and college financial aid, but they are not eligible for federal grants for low-income students.
Kirk Carapeza with the Higher Education Desk at WGBH in Boston. Kirk, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll keep covering this story this week with more on what the Supreme Court's decision means for DACA recipients and what's going on in Congress.